Take your Bibles with me. And we're in this series on the promises. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday. 2 weeks from today, Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. It'll be a great day in God's house. And we've been going through promises. We've entitled the series, Amen. That means so be it. Say amen.
Amen.
Say nice and loud, amen.
Amen.
Amen. So be it. That's what amen means. And we've been looking at promises that God has given to us in his word. Herbert Lockyer did a study of this years ago. Great theologian. Found that there were more than 7,000 promises within God's word. And so we're not going to cover all 7,000, but 8 or 10 or so that we'll cover. And today I come to, if I was to rename this promise, I would call it the child promise or the greatness promise. And I've just simply entitled it today, the great promise. Say, he's great. Said to my kids on the way to school, I said this past week, I was getting ready for this message, and I said, what do you think of the word great? And I said, do you remember Tony the Tiger and Frosted Flakes? Dad, never heard of that. I said, you haven't heard of Tony the Tiger? They're great. You know Frosted Flakes? You know what my son said immediately? He said, Brad, Dad. They didn't call me Brad. Dad? He did say, Dad, too much sugar in those cereals. They're not right for kids. That's a quote. One of the most overused words within the English language, you must agree, is the word great. If you Googled the word great as of this past week, you'd find no less than 1.6 billion hits. The things that we describe as great. We live in Michigan, the state of the Great Lakes. There's Great Britain. There's the Great Plains. Many of you have been to the Great Wall of China. My son is a fan of the great white shark that swims in the Great Barrier Reef. And we all know Jerry Lee Lewis, that great balls of fire. Tony the Tiger, they're great. History's dubbed all kinds of leaders. We covered it this last Wednesday just in our transition prayer time. And if you're not a part on Wednesday nights, have your young people in Revolution Student Ministries and the Kids City with Pastor Dante and Joy and Dan Green with Revolution. And we're praying on Wednesday nights. It'll touch your heart. But we talked to this idea of a lot of leaders have described themselves as great. Alexander the Great, Herod the Great, Catherine the Great. But if you go to Wikipedia, you'll find there's no less than 114 leaders who had the word great attached to their names. Albert the Great, Xerxes the Great. And if great wasn't great enough, a lot of people will use the idea of greater or greatest. Say greatest. I've told a story, I like it, about the three restaurants. They were all on one block. And one restaurant posted a large sign that said, this is the greatest restaurant in the state. The second restaurant posted a larger sign and bragged, this is the greatest restaurant in the country. The third restaurant just had a small sign that simply said, this is the greatest restaurant on this block. I like that. But it's an overword used, you'd have to say, of great. And sometimes we can even use it so much that we use it to describe the opposite of what we're thinking. The gals in the office and the staff, I've had some issues with my car starting of late, and I've gotten in it a couple of times, and it hasn't wanted to start, and I said, oh, great. Opposite of great, obviously. But what about this idea of greatness? Well, the disciples were having an argument one day, and they were arguing about who's the greatest. And the disciples decided, you know what, Lord, why don't you weigh in on this? And Jesus gave an amazing object lesson. I love object lessons. When I study the Word of God, a lot of times I'll study a case study of somebody that it applies to. If it's generosity, I'll look at the life of Barnabas. If it's somebody that failed to reach their potential, I'll study the life of Saul, the first king. But I want you to look at what Jesus said about greatness. Stand with me if you're in the house for the reading of the Word today. Would you please? And Jesus calls little children over to me, and he describes greatness in the humility that he found in kids. And we're going to talk about the great promise, the greatness promise, or the child promise today. Look at the Word says, Matthew chapter 18. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who's the greatest? Say the greatest. Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called the little child and had him stand among them. And he said, I tell you the truth, unless you change. I want you to catch that. In the King James Version, change is the word convert. Unless you change, say change. And become like little children, you will never, that's a pretty strong word, never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck, and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. Wow. Skip over one chapter, if you will. Chapter 19, and go to verse number 13. And you see there that Jesus had some little children that were brought to him. Verse 13. Then little children were brought to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. Jesus said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. The kingdom of heaven belongs to people like the kids. When he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thanks for the beautiful day here in Michigan. Lord, thank you for the spring season. Lord, thank you that it speaks to us of resurrection. Things that were dormant are coming to life in the physical realm. But Lord, we recognize you're at the center. You came to life for us. And I ask at this season, Lord, you speak to our hearts and our lives. In this simple message today, I pray, Lord, that your word would come alive to us. Lord, you would encourage our hearts and our lives. Lord, may we become and be converted, change and become like kids in many respects regarding our faith. And I pray in these next few moments, this greatness promise might be applied to our hearts and our lives for your glory and for your fame. And Lord, people didn't come to hear Brad Trask. They came to hear a word uttered from your throne. So just use me as your mouthpiece. And if you can't speak through me, speak in spite of me to these people that are watching online or here in person. In Jesus' mighty and wonderful and awesome name. And everybody would say, amen. Amen. You may be seated. That's a revolutionary statement. Unless you convert and become like children, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. Some people think, really, children have to become like adults, don't they, Brighton? In order to understand and trust Jesus enough. But Jesus said, unless you become like kids in order to see the kingdom, it won't happen for your life. In one respect, I would submit to you, God only has kids in the kingdom. Say kids in the kingdom. If we're going to become like children again, I've got to understand how a child thinks. I would say that the Lord's helped Ron and I over the last 9 years to have a whole new perspective. Some of you have a larger sample size, if you will. But I'll tell you, becoming a dad has added new elements of faith to my life. And we can learn a lot from kids regarding faith because we understand how a child thinks. Since we've all been one a kid at one time or another. Yes, you have. These aren't new qualities, but you do have to relearn them, if you will. And you should never stop being like a kid within the kingdom. So today I want to remind you of seven character traits of kids, if you will, that you and I can apply to our faith. That you and I would say, Lord, help us to start being or again becoming like a kid regarding your kingdom. I would say to you, don't stop laughing with wonder regarding the things of God. Don't stop laughing with wonder. If there's one thing that we know about kids, they like to have fun, don't they? They love to laugh. There's nothing more enjoyable for me. Can I tell you, I love to just tell Eleanor, Elle, laugh for me, if you will, and she'll laugh. I love to see a kid laugh. Just watch 12 seconds of this video that Pastor BK pulled up for me. The fact of the matter is, we ought to have a sense of wonder. That little guy was just laughing about the idea of paper being ripped. Reader's Digest coined a phrase years ago. It was close to being biblical. They said, laughter is the best medicine, and then they would put a short story about laughter there. But centuries before Reader's Digest, Solomon declared, Proverbs 17:22, a cheerful heart is good medicine. And one of the reasons that children laugh is because they see wonder in everything. I remember when our kids came along, Jim Smith said from our church, said to Rhonda one time, think about it, Rhonda. Everything that Eli and Ellie are seeing, they're seeing for the very first time. One of my favorite memories of being a dad is the idea of putting our kids to sleep after they've opened some presents with Grandpa and Grandma close by. That's the Salise on Christmas Eve. We put them to bed, and they know they're going to open some presents the next day. And it's just going to be an exciting day to spend Christmas Day experiencing opening even more presents. That's the same kind of childlike wonder and awe we should have, church, when we think about God. Children live in a fairy tale world. The handsome prince rescues the fair maiden. And then they get married and live happily ever after. And as we grow older, we no longer live in a fairy tale world. But even as adults, I would submit to you, we still have to have our hearts filled with wonder. Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 3:11, he said, he has set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. It's such a powerful mystery, isn't there? The idea about the ways of God and his awesomeness and his wonder we should never lose that sense. Sadly, I would submit to you, many adults have lost that sense of wonder of the greatness and the glory of God. I can tell you, maybe you've heard me pray it at times. Lord, please help me never to lose that sense that I was saved from my sins and that you rescued me. How many of you can say amen? Amen. Our attitude should never be been there, done that when it comes to the things of God. In Matthew 21, we read that Jesus entered Jerusalem. We celebrate it regarding Palm Sunday. This is the place in the scripture. And the people were taking out palm branches and crying out, Hosanna, he saves to the Lord. And the word says, Matthew 21, but when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful, notice that, wonderful things he did, and the children shouting in the temple courts, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. Do you hear what these children are saying? They asked him. Yes, replied Jesus. Have you never read from the lips of children and infants, you, Lord, have called forth your praise? I would submit to you, right? It's time for us some of us adults to start expressing our praise by worshiping the way that children worship. I'd love to go to our children's VBS. I've got an old video on my phone. It's probably, Eli turned 9 this past week. It's got to be when he's like 3 and a half, maybe 4 and a half, but not any more than that. And the worship team, the kids' worship team for VBS is up here. And Eli comes over right about in here where the worship team is, and he's just jumping up and down, and he's just smiling and laughing. It blesses me. Every time, if I get down, sometimes I'll just pull that up, and you know what? It makes me feel better. I love to see kids just worship the Lord. They don't care what anybody else thinks. You know what? They just sing with enthusiasm. Or when the Christmas time rolls around and during the seasons, we've been able to have kids' choirs. They're not shy when it comes to expressing their praise. Never stop laughing with wonder regarding the things of God. Number two, don't stop playing with your friends. Matthew chapter 19, verse 13 says that when people brought little children to those for him to place his hands on them and pray for them, but the disciples rebuked him. When you were in elementary school, are you like me? My favorite time of the day was playtime. They called it what? Recess. You know what? We didn't just sit around. We played kickball. We played dodgeball. We played kill the guy with the ball. And it was just fun to play. It wasn't any fun to play by yourself. You wanted to play with your buddies. That's been the hard thing about COVID, can I tell you? If you're a people person, you just want to be around people. And it feels good. Whether you like me or not, I like you. And that's a great lesson for us adults. We shouldn't ever stop playing with our friends, if you will. And we need to maintain a childlike attitude. A couple of generations ago, when life was a little more simpler, Americans used to worship, work, and play. Gordon Dahl, he said this, the author, he said, today most Americans tend to worship their work, work at their play, and play at their worship. A few years ago, many of you probably read the poem. It's kind of been an inspiration along with a minister by the name of David Dykes, the message for today. But Robert Fulghum, he wrote a famous essay entitled, what? All I Really Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten. And his main thought was that everything in life can be condensed down to that poem. Listen to the words. Most of us, most of what I really need to know about how to live and about what to do and how to be, I learned in kindergarten. Wisdom was not at the top of the graduate school mountain, but there in the sand pile of Sunday school. These are the things I learned. Share everything. Play fair. Don't hit people. Put things back when you found them. Clean up your own mess. Don't take things that aren't yours. Say you're sorry when you hurt somebody. Wash your hands before you eat. Flush. Warm cookies and cold milk are good for you. Live a balanced life. Learn some, think some. And draw and paint and sing and dance and play and work every day some. Take a nap every afternoon. And when you go out into the world, watch out for traffic. Hold hands and stick together. Be aware of wonder. Wow. That's not all you need to know, but I would submit to you that it supports the fact that Jesus says that you and I are great in the kingdom when we have a childlike spirit. Thirdly. Don't stop learning something new every day. Children have a natural sense of curiosity, don't they? If you spend time with a little child, you're going to have a million questions asked, and most of the questions contain what word? Why? Why is the sky blue? Why do we have to take a bath? Why do I got to brush my teeth, Dad? I did it 3 days ago. Why do I have to eat vegetables? This chocolate cake, it looks good. My children are asking questions all the time. Children love to learn. And they're like sponges that soak up all kinds of information. They'll even ask funny God questions. I've read a number of to you over the years, but I love what Dennis prayed. He asked God, "Dear God, my grandpa says you were around when he was a little boy. How far back do you go anyway?" The problem is with some adults, they lose that curious, childlike, teachable heart. They think they know it all, and they close their minds to any new information. But Peter the Apostle, he compared us to children when he said, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. The same way with our little guy, Eli. Ellie wasn't as bad. But I'm telling you, when Eli was born, you could set your watch to a two-hour feeding. If we were on the road, I mean, if we were going to visit in Missouri or on the road, and we looked around, I mean, if we were between exits, I mean, I'm not exaggerating. You didn't get an extra 2 minutes, like 122 minutes. It was 120 minutes, period. And then it wasn't just, it was, That's just the way it was. Sorry, I freaked you out there. Really, yeah. But just the way that Eli and your kids in the middle of the night wanted to have that milk, the word says that you and I are to be people that hunger. Lord, teach us something new every day. I look, my dad, this next Tuesday, he turns 85 years of age. And my dad, every morning, still is in the Word of God, asking, Lord, show me something new from your Word. Crave that, just as a baby craves the milk. Crave a new revelation from God, from his Word to your life, no matter how old you are. Number four, don't stop asking for help. Look what Galatians 4:7 says. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. Everything he has belongs to you. Children have to depend upon their parents, right? Dependence comes natural for a child. Now you need to help break that. Ellie, last night, she's up watching a video in our bed. We're downstairs, and she dropped her water bottle off of the bed. And she calls down, Mom, I dropped my water bottle. Can you come upstairs and get it? Now, that kind of dependence, you want to nurture them regarding becoming independent. But can I tell you? Dependence comes natural for a child. The older we get, the more independent we can become, and we get proud about it. We think we can take care of our own needs and our own problems. I've heard people say, you know what? I'm too proud to ask for charity. The attitude is wrong, but the observation is correct. It's an element of pride in the person that won't ask for help. Humility recognizes that our own strength isn't sufficient. So we have to beg God, or ask him, Lord, would you help us? And he delights to do that. He delights to give us help. We need to be like that child and realize that every breath is a gift from Almighty God. Every beat of our hearts is a gift from God. Every dollar that we earn has been given because God's given us the ability to earn it. And we're completely dependent upon him. Remember the story? Rhonda covered it in a prayer time not too long ago on Wednesday at 2 o'clock. Remember when Simon Peter was walking on the water? He bids asked the Lord, if that's you, Lord, bid me to come to you. The Lord says, come. He gets out of the boat, and he keeps his eyes focused on Jesus, and then he begins to look at the wind and the waves, and he starts to sink. Everybody with me, say amen. You know what? What would he have been tempted to do? He probably could have been tempted, you know what, okay, I'm going to swim back to the boat. It probably would have been the natural inclination. After all, he might have been able to do it. Yes, it's storming, but he might have been able to do that in his own strength. But Peter was humble enough to ask for help. What did he say? Lord, save me. Pride will make you think that you can swim your way to heaven by good works. But the child cries out to the Lord for help. Number five, don't stop trusting fully. Have you ever seen a child leap into their parents' arms? My kids do. That's what faith is. It's taking a leap and trusting that God will be there for you. Trust comes naturally to a child. That's why we have to teach them to not to speak to strangers. They become too trusting, right? The world's full of scam artists and con men and women. And as we grow older, we get more skeptical. But we need to be skeptical about things the world throws at us. But when it comes to our relationship with the Lord, we should have a simple, childlike faith and always be trusting. What's the opposite of trust? Worry. Doubt. Did you notice that the children don't worry about things that adults do? You know, like kids don't worry about gridlock between the White House and Congress. They're not worried about, you know what, the gasoline prices being raised. In Matthew 6, Jesus commanded us not to worry. And he said what? That our heavenly Father knows what we need and will take care of us. Jesus said, look at the birds. God takes care of them. And you're more precious than those birds, so don't worry. Look what it says, Matthew 6. So don't worry about having enough food or drink or clothing. Why be like the pagans who are deeply concerned about these things? Your heavenly Father, say heavenly Father. Your heavenly Father already knows your needs. I can tell you one thing for certain. Your kids and my kids, tomorrow morning, are not going to worry about who cooks breakfast. They believe mom or dad will prepare the food. And that's the kind of trust that God wants you to have in him. He is Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. Number six, don't stop forgiving quickly. Wouldn't it be a better place if people could forgive people who have hurt them as easily as kids do? I can remember as a kid, we'd be out playing football out in the park that was through a field in our neighborhood in Saginaw. And somebody might have hurt me or I might have hurt them. And you'd kind of roughhouse a little bit and you'd get mad or upset. And you know what? It might be 10 or 11 o'clock on a Saturday morning, but by 2 or 3 o'clock, everything was let bygones be bygones, right? You know what? I told a story. I like this one. I'm sorry. But I like the story about kids that are they're bragging about how strong their dad is, right? And these kids were arguing, and these boys, my dad's tougher than your dad. And that afternoon, this big, strong father shows up at the house of one of the other boys. And the dad answered the door, and the big guy said, you know what, my kid said that your kid said that you have got a list of people who you can beat up. And I'm on that list. He said, I don't think you can beat me up. So what are you going to do about it? The smaller dad said, you know what? I'm going to take you off the list. The problem is, you guys, here's the deal. As adults, we keep a list of the people that have offended us or the people that we haven't forgiven. Why don't you take the people off the list and forgive them? The word says, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Last point. Worship team comes back, please. Let me repeat them, can I? Don't stop laughing with wonder. Just have a good belly laugh regarding the things of God. You know, Rhonda went down to see my folks, and she was telling me this past week. Rhonda was in a committee for foster care and to help cease sex trafficking, and it was in Springfield how the Assemblies of God are going to be involved. And when she got in the car, she told me, you know what, I've noticed something about Brad over the past year. My mother said this to Rhonda and said, you know what, he just seems to be more at ease in life. Just, you know what, doesn't seem to be stressing, just seems to be enjoying it. And I think a lot of that is just COVID's put things in perspective. I appreciate things more. You know what, I love my family, I love my kids, I love my wife dearly. You know what, and Rhonda just said, you know what, I think that Brad has just learned, he's kind of, even in his 50s, has learned, you know what, just take things as they are, that you're going to provide. And you know what? I think that was a proper observation from my wife. And I want to live like that with you, friends. Number 7, I don't want to stop running to my Father. When the parents tried to bring their kids to Jesus, the disciples said, "The master's too busy for you." They didn't say those words, or the scripture didn't say, but in essence, that's what they said. They forbade them to come to Jesus. And Jesus rebuked the disciples and took the little children in his arms and blessed them. And I would submit to you today, Brighton, that Jesus has his arms open for you as well. One of my greatest memories as a little guy, my dad was in the district office as a district youth director. We lived in Dearborn Heights on Dixie Lane. We lived there until I was 6 years of age. We moved to Saginaw. But I remember he had come back from those trips, and I'd run, and he'd catch me, and he would just simply, "How's my buddy doing?" And if you grew up in a home where there were strong arms to hold and protect you, you're blessed. Kids need someone bigger and stronger than them to protect them. And when we become adults, we still need someone bigger and stronger to take care of us, and our Heavenly Father is available. We can run to Him, and He'll embrace us like the perfect Father. And I know some of you didn't have perfect earthly dads or even nice earthly dads, but can I ask the Holy Spirit to help you transcend that mindset, because you have a perfect Heavenly Father that loves you. You can't do anything more to earn His love, because He loves you unconditionally. And the Bible says that you and I are sons and daughters. Look at Galatians 4:6. God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who cries out, "Abba, Father." God's not some unapproachable alien force. He's a loving Father who wants to embrace us today and wants to embrace us as His child. The King James said, remember what we declared early on as you stand with me today? Look what it says in Matthew chapter 18, verse 3. "Except you be converted," say converted, nice and loud, converted. "And except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven." And many of us here today have had a conversion experience. Let me say parenthetically, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you need to be converted spiritually, and you need to be born again spiritually. You are a sinner that's going to become like a child and be born spiritually, and you're going to be made new in Christ Jesus. But I would also say, for some of us that are in the faith, that the fact is that we need to be reconverted. He's speaking to his disciples there in Matthew 18. He says, unless you change and become like children. You've got to stop analyzing everything about God and just start trusting Him. Do you need to be converted, Christian? Do you need to be changed? It could be the greatest change that ever happens in your life spiritually is that you stop trying to figure out God and just start trusting Him. And as an adult, you might be saying, you know what? I'll wait till I understand everything about God, and then I'll surrender and accept salvation. Can I tell you? You'll never understand it all. You only have to accept it as a free gift of salvation. And that's easy for a child to do, to accept a gift. We want to pay it back. We want to earn it. But as a child, we just accept it. God's looking today. His eyes roam throughout the sanctuary. And he's not asking us to be childish. He's not looking for childish behavior. But he is looking for childlike faith. Except you become like one of these little ones, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. And I would submit to you, in one real way, that only children go to heaven. God's children. Are you in a relationship with Christ today? As a believer, do you need to say, Lord, restore the childlike faith in me. Lord, restore the wonder. Lord, would you help me to realize that I can trust you, that these things don't stress you out, and Lord, you're going to sovereignly provide. And if you're here today and you've never come to your heavenly Father, you know what? He loves you. He accepts you the way that you are, and he wants you to become part of his forever family, into his home, his spiritual home, to be his child. No longer slaves, no longer servants, no longer enemies. You're going to be his child.